This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. When farmers and ranchers have a good year, they tend to plow money back into the farm. Often the improvements are environmental enhancements. Even when farmers and ranchers have a tougher year, chances are they are investing in the environmental sustainability of their farms thanks to voluntary conservation programs that provide financial incentives and cost sharing. For those who want to make environmental improvements anyway, voluntary conservation programs make those improvements more accessible and affordable. Now compare that to the heavy-handed approach of EPA and other federal agencies. Regardless of whether farm prices are good or bad, as expected this year, regulations increase the cost of farming while offering no help to comply. Conservation programs may or may not help farmers meet some regulatory obligations, but the stick comes down on the farmer's shoulders either way. There's the cost of applying for permits or paying penalties and possibly getting sued or failing to do so even when the farm is arguably not covered by the regulations. Add in hiring engineers and lawyers to figure out what the farmer needs to do. Then there are avoidance costs, the hit to profitability from not expanding, planting more profitable crops, or making other changes to avoid regulatory enforcement. Sometimes there is not enough science to show that any of these benefits the environment. Regulation of farming has been spreading like a virus. There is the Waters of the U.S. rule, tied up in the courts, but still very much a threat. EPA's micromanagement of farming in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, duplicative regulation of pesticide application under two laws, restrictions on federal grazing permits, unwarranted listings under the Endangered Species Act, the list goes on and on. This past week, three Farm Bureau members testified at a congressional hearing about the growing regulatory burden. As one of them, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau President Rick Ebert, said, some businesses can pass on their regulatory costs by raising their prices, but farmers cannot set prices. Florida citrus grower Kate English testified that the gap is widening between regulatory demands and farmers' ability to remain profitable enough to continue producing the fresh, nutritious food that we all take for granted. Another witness, Ohio farmer and former Ohio Farm Bureau President Terry McClure, testified that farmers and ranchers are committed to implementing voluntary measures that are science-based and that will yield results. The fact that farming is so much more efficient and productive than it was 30 or 40 years ago is proof of that. Farm Bureau is looking to Congress to help us halt the spreading virus of overregulation so we can continue to produce both food for our nation and a better environment. On Tuesday, three Farm Bureau members called on the federal government to use more carrots and fewer sticks with farmers who care for the land as often been in their families for generations. Pennsylvania Farm Bureau President Richard Ebert, former Ohio Farm Bureau President Terry McClure, and Florida Farm Bureau member Kate English testified before the House Agriculture Subcommittee on Conservation and Forestry. Ebert told the subcommittee that the Environmental Protection Agency has failed to explain its expectations in the ongoing Chesapeake Bay cleanup, in addition to chiding the agency for spreading false information about family farms. McClure noted that Ohio farmers work hard to reduce runoff of excess phosphorus and nitrogen from their farms. English warned that the federal regulations have become unworkably complex and singled out the EPA's controversial Waters of the United States rule as an example of bad science. Farming and ranching is fraught with uncertainties, but taxes shouldn't be one of them, Oregon Farm Bureau member Gail Goshi recently told the Senate Finance Committee. Testifying on behalf of the Hop Growers of America, Goshi asked lawmakers to help millions of American small businesses by streamlining and simplifying the incredibly complex federal tax code. She told the committee a growing season can turn quickly from an economic gain to an economic loss. A change in the weather, product prices, labor supply, or our customers' needs can have an extreme, often unforeseen impact on our business. Furthermore, the complex and sometimes arbitrary and inequitable nature of our tax laws can impact how we buy equipment, what type of crops we plant, and our hiring practices. State Department and United States Citizenship and Immigration Services recently announced a new e-approval system for temporary agriculture workers to ease delays under the H-2A program. AFBF's Christy Boswell explained that the new approach is a step in the right direction. Boswell said these delays cause significant losses that will end up impacting what fruits and vegetables are in our local grocery stores. She said we need all the agencies involved to draw attention to this and continue to take steps to make the program more efficient. The Obama administration recently withdrew its appeal of the decision by U.S. District Judge Robert A. Junell to vacate the 2014 listing of the lesser prairie chicken under the Endangered Species Act. In that decision, the judge said voluntary range-wide plans developed for affected states that are part of the bird's habitat were not properly considered and that the listing was unwarranted. AFBF opposes the federal listing of the bird and continues to instead encourage voluntary conservation efforts along with state and local partnerships to ensure long-term resilience of the species. The Illinois Department of Agriculture is encouraging farmers and agrochemical facilities to save their empty agrochemical containers. The department announced it has arranged to recycle them. Beginning at the end of July and continuing in August, sites throughout the state will collect containers. The containers will be recycled to make shipping pallets, fence posts, drainage tubing, plastic lumber, and other useful products. Metal and household pesticide containers are not eligible for the recycling program. Collection sites will accept only high-density polyethylene number 2 plastic agrochemical containers that are clean and dry. Participants are responsible for rinsing them and removing all caps, labels, booklets, and foil seals. The program is a cooperative venture between the Illinois Department of Agriculture, Agriculture Container Recycling Council, GrowMark Incorporated, Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, Container Services Network, Illinois Farm Bureau, and University of Illinois Extension. To obtain a free brochure about the program, contact the Illinois Department of Agriculture toll-free at 1-800-641-3934. Collection sites and dates for the 2016 Pesticide Container Recycling Program that are close to Macoupin County include Green County at Illinois Valley Supply in Carrollton that is a permanent collection site. On July 27th from 9 to 11 at Prairieland FS in Jacksonville, and on August 26th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at M&M Service in Girard. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.